we have an opportunity now to spend some time in a study of God's Word. And it's a great privilege to be able to come together on the Lord's Day with brethren and visitors alike to spend some time now worshiping Him and looking at His Word. This morning, I want to talk about a topic that is often forgotten about at this time of the year. I want to bring this up at this time of the year because it's about this time of the year that people aren't thinking about what I want to talk about. Now, at the very beginning of the year, on January the 1st, what is it that people do a whole lot on New Year's Day? They make what? New Year's what? Resolutions. But by February, right, those resolutions have been forgotten. So this morning, I want to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit this morning about how you can change yourself. You know, a lot of times, and it's not just New Year's resolutions, there's a lot of times when people say in their mind, I'm going to make a change, okay? And I'm going to do this. And they're very excited, they're honest, they're excited, they're genuine, I want to make a change. But after about a month or so, they still have not made that change. So, this morning, this is not a lesson on New Year's resolutions. It's a lesson on if we need to change, we need to move past the talking stage and the thinking stage to the doing stage. And I want to try to help this morning with some biblical principles. This lesson this morning is not from pop psychology. This lesson this morning is not from what people think or feel or human wisdom. In fact, you can Google this exact same phrase and you're going to get a bunch of information and some of it is not that good. I know that because I did that in preparation for this lesson and you got to be very careful by doing something like that. You can Google that. You can put in those words on YouTube. And there's a bunch of videos out there. But you're going to get some misinformation. You're going to get information that's not biblical. We're going to be looking later on in the lesson about some biblical principles. And really, if you stop and think about it, all of the New Testament is about this topic. The whole New Testament is about change. And so it's good for us to remind ourselves of this. But there may be someone here this morning that needs to make a change in some aspect of their life. It could be a spiritual change. It could be a physical change. We need to move past the talking about it and actually doing it. Who needs to change? Well, the person who has not been baptized properly, the person who has not obeyed the gospel. Anybody here this morning that needs to be baptized needs to make that change. And I'm not just talking about inside this building, but inside this town, inside this county, this state, this country, and the world. When we need to obey the gospel and we have not done that, we need to make that change. And it's good to talk about it and it's good to think about it, but we need to get up and do it. The other person who needs to make a change is any Christian who has fallen back into sin. Some Christian who has fallen back into sin and they're letting that sin be a part of their lives. You need to make that change. You need to get out of that. And any Christian here this morning that is living faithfully, and I believe we have a number of them, if you're living faithfully here this morning, you need to make a change. In other words, everybody. Everybody in the room needs to make a change in some way or another. Even if we're faithful, we can change to become growing in our faith and maturing in our faith and being more active and being more zealous and adding to the things that we're doing to the Lord. There's something for all of us here this morning, in other words, and myself included. But again, the lesson is not just about change, but actually taking the steps to do that. And with regard to baptism or coming back to the Lord, you can do that in just a moment when we have an invitation here. We're talking about now. Make those steps now. And if there is something that we need to change in our life, we need to start making those changes now. What happens on the first of the year is we make all of these New Year's resolutions and we say, I want to change. And a lot of times it has to do with dieting or getting more organized or something along those lines, and that's fine. But by February, it hadn't come about. So I wanted to talk about this at this time of the year. There are some words that are used in the New Testament that imply change. Let's just go down through these quickly. First of all, when you read in your New Testament about the word repent, that implies making a change. And there are a number of passages that use the word repent. I just chose these three to make a brief point. What was the first thing that John the Baptist preached in Matthew 3:2? When he came on the scene preaching, what was the first thing he preached? What was his topic? Change. Look at Matthew 4:17. What was the first topic that Jesus preached on when he began to preach? Change. In Acts chapter 2, in our scripture reading this morning, when Peter finished his sermon there, what was the substance of that conclusion? Change. Repent and be baptized. Save yourself. Repent implies change. The word convert implies change. In Acts 15:3, they went about declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. This is people who need to obey the gospel. But turn to James 5:19 and 20. Here's an erring brother, an erring Christian. He needs to be converted. A lot of times we associate the word convert with sinners who need to obey the gospel, but in James 5:19 and 20, convert is used for Christians who've fallen back into sin. They need to convert. And so that implies change. The word turn, used a number of times in the New Testament. And again, these words may not be used exactly in your version. One of the challenges in preaching today is that when I make a point about a word in the verse, you're holding a version that doesn't have that word in that verse. It's challenging to preach today. It's difficult. It used to be not so difficult. But with all the different versions out there, your version might not have this word in your particular version, but trust me, that's what we're talking about. The word turn is used all throughout the New Testament. People turning to the Lord, people turning to Jesus, people turning to God. Well, that implies they're making a change. And that's important to do. The word put off and put on. Putting off the old man, Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Putting off the works of darkness. Putting off something and putting on something else. We're talking about spiritually, not physically. Taking off clothes and putting on clothes, but spiritually. Getting rid of that old man of sin and putting on the image of Christ, that implies change. The word renew. To be renewed in the spirit of our mind. To be renewed implies change, and that's a word that's used in the New Testament. And the word transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Paul writes in Romans 12 and verse 2. Transform, to change from one thing to another. We get our word metamorphosis from that word there. The butterfly that makes the change. So, change is all over the New Testament. And you'll notice that these passages, some of these passages refer to people who need to obey the gospel, but many of these passages, just on the PowerPoint here, they're written to Christians. Christians need to put off and put on, and Christians need to renew, and Christians need to transform. So there's something here for all of us. But again, we can look at these passages today, and we can read them, and we can make notes, and walk out unchanged. That's the point of today's lesson. I want us to get us past the talking point to the doing point. And I want to give us some steps here in just a minute that would help us to do that. We're very aware that the New Testament teaches change. It's everywhere. But we've got to get to the point where we've actually changed. There are some other words just briefly. The word restore. When Elijah, who is fulfilled in John the Baptist, would come, he would restore all things. And John the Baptist certainly taught change. The word grow and mature implies change. That we're to grow up and we're to add to our faith and we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Hebrew writer says, let us press on to maturity. Anytime you read grow or mature in your New Testament, you're talking about change. God doesn't want us to stay the same. And so change is everywhere. And so this morning I want us then to look at some biblical principles that will help us to actually make that change. I was reading online where one suggestion was, and this is why you have to be careful about reading this stuff online. You can put in how you can change yourself. Google that. Actually, don't do that. Or you can put it into YouTube. Actually, don't do that. But you put those words in there, and one thing I saw was a person was saying, if you really want to change yourself, start off by telling yourself how good you are every day. You're a good person. You're good, you're good, you're good. Well, here's the problem with that. What if you're in sin? What if you're living in sin? You're just going to stay there. You're just going to stay there in your sin. That's a problem. You got to be careful about where you get your information about change. I was looking at another place where it was suggested that you take a lot of time changing. Don't rush into it. Just take your time, you know. And it's okay if you're going months and months and maybe even years. That's a problem. If you're in your sin, that's a big problem. You can see you can get some wrong advice about some things, so you got to be very careful about that. In the book of Acts, when somebody was in sin, they were told to get up and do that immediately. Ananias told Saul, why tarriest thou? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin. The Ethiopian eunuch said, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Let's do this right now. And Paul baptized the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 in the same hour of the night. There was no, let's just wait and delay. So in some cases, brethren and friends, change needs to be immediate. So this morning, we want to get our advice from God's Word. And I want to give specifically some steps that we can take to actually make that change and move past the talking stage to the doing stage. And I hope you brought your lunch because there's no clock today. Bob told me before this lesson, there's no clock. So I hope you brought your loaves and fishes because you might be here a while. A preacher loves to look to the back and not see a clock. That's the best thing. Let's start by taking some steps to actually making that change. Here are some suggestions that I would offer. Number one, change your big picture. I am in a world, you are in a world that has a God in it. And everything we need to be doing needs to be pleasing to God. What happens is, if we need to change something, we don't do it because we're always thinking of ourselves. What do I think and I feel and what's best for me and what should I do? And it's all about I. We will actually make the changes that we need to make when we realize that I need to be in a right relationship with God, and literally all of my life throughout the day needs to be guided by that principle. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if I need to change something to glorify God, I'm going to do that. It's not about me and my little world and what I think or feel. I need to be glorifying God. I need to be the person that God wants me to be. Look at Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord.
And even some of these principles could govern things like my own health. If I'm not using my body and my mind, and I could be healthier even in my body and my mind in order to glorify God, then I'm going to make some changes. I might need to make some dietary changes. But I live in a world where my purpose and aim in life is to glorify God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. The Macedonians, the Christians there, before they gave to the needy in Judea, before they gave that, Paul said they gave themselves first to the Lord. That's how we should get up every morning. I'm going to glorify God. I belong to the Lord. Paul would say it, it is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. You could add that one in. I need to have an aim in life that everything I say and do and think from the moment I get up until I go to bed is to glorify God and to serve God and to be right with God. And that is going to help me to say, hey, I need to get up and make a change, because right now where I'm at, I'm not glorifying God in my thinking or in my what I'm saying or what I'm doing or the lack thereof. So I would start with this, where our whole life needs to have the aim and purpose of glorifying God. And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, wow, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if I cannot honestly say that what I'm thinking and saying and doing glorifies God, I need to change that. That would be the first thing I would suggest. And by the way, the first few here deal with God. The next few deals with ourselves, and the last one deals with someone around us that God gives us, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But these first few deal with God, and that's where we need to begin any course of change. Let's look at another principle. I need to believe that with God's help I can change. Some people talk about change all the time, but deep down inside, they're like, well, I really can't do it. And so they never do it. Do I actually believe I can make this change that I need to be making? Do I actually believe that I can do it? Or is it just talk? And I need to believe that I can do it. I've entitled this lesson, How You Can Change Yourself, but understand, we're not going to do anything without God's help. This is not some self-help lesson where you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and you don't need God for anything. We've got to have God to help us make these changes, but we've got to believe that. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Is this something that I actually believe that is the Lord's will as it is revealed to us in Scripture? I'm going to commit myself to Him. I'm not going to lean upon my own understanding. We could bring in Proverbs 3:5. Don't trust in your own, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5. Do we believe and He will bring it to pass? Do we believe that? Philippians 4:13 sometimes gets abused. Turn with me there. However, because it gets abused sometimes by people out in the religious world, we run away from a good principle that actually is being taught here. When Paul says, I can do all things in Him, Christ, that strengthens me, he had just been talking about there's times in his life when things are going well, there's times in his life where things are not going well. In either way, he has learned to be content and serve the Lord, and he says, I can do all things in Him that strengthens me. That has been abused, but just because it's abused doesn't mean that it doesn't have a lesson for us, and that is, we can do things through Christ's strength. Sometimes that gets abused. Well, I can pass a test at school. because, you know, or I can get a new car, or I can get a new job because of Philippians 4:13. It's been abused, but let's not run from it and run away from a good principle that is there, and that is that Christ does give us strength so that we can do things and live in different kinds of situations in life, good or bad. And we can learn to be content, and Christ can help us to do that. But we've got to believe that we're actually going to get help and actually make the change. Otherwise, we just stay where we're at. Number three, I would encourage us to seriously read our Bible and pray about this specific matter that we're wanting to change. Have you actually done that? I'm not talking about reading your Bible in general. I'm not talking about daily Bible reading. I'm talking about there's a specific thing I need to change. And I'm going to read Bible verses on that topic, and I'm going to pray seriously about that topic. Have we actually done that? Do you know that God's Word addresses so many things in our life, including our bodies? Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Even the Bible deals with our body, which we get into the matter of diet. But the Bible deals with all kinds of things. Have we actually seriously read the Bible verses on that and prayed specifically about that? I've talked with people before, and I've asked them, well, have you prayed about this? And, well, no. Okay. Do you really want to change? God's Word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our pathway. Do we actually use it to guide us in these changes that we're needing to make, these decisions that we're trying to make? Do we actually read Bible verses on that specific thing? I need to change my language, or I need to change what I'm thinking about, or my view on this, or my view on that. Do we actually read the Bible verses on those specific things? If the answer is no, then we're not helping ourselves to make those changes. And, while we're here in Philippians 4, the well-known passage, turn with me to Philippians 4, verse 6, do we actually pray specifically about the thing that we need to change about? In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Has one of your requests been the specific thing that you're trying to change? Some people actually forget that. And there's not going to be any change. I've known of people who have told me over and over again, I need to be baptized. Or people will come to me because I'm the minister, and in confidentiality they will say such and such. And I keep all of those things confident. Baptism is not a confidential thing. That's something that we all need to do. But sometimes people will come to me and in confidence they will say such and such. And then a month later, 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, three, it's the same thing. I'm trying to help you to actually make the change. And when I'm in that situation, I need to actually make the change. And I hope that these biblical principles will help us to do that. I'm glad that we talk about it. I'm glad that we think about it. But we've got to get up and actually make the change. And God tells us how that we can do that. So I would add to the list, seriously, read your Bible and pray specifically about this thing that I need to change on. Turn with me to Luke 15. We've got to develop a specific plan of action, specific steps that are going to be taken where we're going to make this change. We've got to get past the talking phase. And we've got to start making specific steps and changes this week.
Do you remember when the prodigal son had gone away and he realizes that he needs to come back to his father? In Luke 15 and verse 17, when he, the prodigal son, came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? Number one, I will arise. Number two, I will go to my father. And number three, I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and he came and so forth.
You've got to develop a plan of action. You've got to write down the specific steps that you're going to take to make this happen. If we really want to be right with God, it's very important.
You know, the resolution part, anybody can make a resolution. That's the easy part.
But it's the daily grind of taking the steps to make it happen that's challenging, but that we've got to get to that point.
How did Sir Edmund Hillary get to the top of Mount Everest, the first man to ascend Mount Everest with his guide that was with him? Those two men stood on the top of Mount Everest. I'm told they were there about 15 minutes. That's kind of interesting. How did he get up there? One foot in front of the other. One step in front of the other. And you've got to do that. You've got to say, these are the steps I'm going to take, but we never get to that point, or we don't take those steps and so we don't change. He came back to his father and was greatly rewarded for it, and we need to learn a lesson from that. I've talked with people about things that are going on in their lives, and I will share this with you. That a lot of times what happens, brethren, is, and I'm just going to be honest with you, in the course of the conversation, when I get to the part about specific steps you need to take, then the conversation gets kind of quiet. Because that's the part that's the hard part. That's the part that where the rubber meets the road. And so it's great to talk about things, but we've got to actually take steps. And when am I going to take these steps? And what are the steps? And all of that. It's very important. And so, develop a plan of action. And I think it's great to write it on a piece of paper. And then, today, start taking those steps. And along that line, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. I do believe when it comes to things like being baptized into Christ that you, following the New Testament pattern, you do not need to put that off. There might be other things we're going to say here in just a minute where we have to exercise some patience. But I would suggest that in anything we need to change, you can start taking those steps today. But there's another principle that I want to talk about. Sometime back here in this pulpit, I preached a sermon. I called it the replacement principle taken from Matthew 12. But in order to make the necessary changes, you're going to have to get rid of the bad and replace it with something that's good. We're never going to change when we keep the bad around. You've got to get rid of that. And then you've got to replace it with what's good. And I preached on Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is trying to make a point about the scribes and the Pharisees who had rejected him. In some ways, they had cleaned their life out, but they weren't replacing it with Jesus. And they're like this house that is clean and the demons have gone out, but it's filled back in again. Because it hasn't been filled with good. But the unclean spirit, when he has gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeing rest and finds it not. Then he says, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goes, he and takes with him seven other spirits or demons more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. Even so it shall be also unto this generation. These wicked scribes and Pharisees were not filling their lives with Jesus. And so they're going to be filled with all kinds of bad. Let's say I've got a bad habit of watching TV all day long, and I need to change that. So what I do is I turn the TV off, but I sit there all day in front of a blank TV. Is that going to help me? I've stopped it, but I got to fill it with good. It's great to turn the TV off, but I got to get up and go fill it with good. So I can stop something, but I need to fill it with good. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. This is illustrated there. I've got to substitute a good habit for a bad one. And it's not just enough to say, well, I'm going to stop doing such and such. You've got to start doing what is right and good. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 where this principle is mentioned here in Ephesians 4:22, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life. And by the way, this is talking to Christians, which is interesting. Even Christians can put away things that need to still be put away. Put away your former life, the old man that waxes or grows corrupt after the lust of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new man that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Now watch this. Wherefore, putting away all falsehood, so you stop that. What's the rest of the verse say? Speak truth one with another. So you put away the lies and you fill it with what? Truth. You see that? Come down to verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. So stop that. But rather let him labor working with his hands. So stop stealing, but fill it with what? Go out and get a good job. Take care of yourself and others around you. Let's look at it again. Verse 29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. Stop certain things. Don't say things that are bad. Fill it with what? But such as is good for edifying as the need may be. Come down to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you and all malice. Stop that. And then look at verse 32. And be kind one to another and tenderhearted and so forth. You stop these things and you fill it with what's good. The replacement principle. You got to do that. So it's not enough just to stop eating bad junk food. You got to fill it with good, healthy things. It's not enough to say, well, I'm not going to think those bad thoughts anymore. You got to fill it with good thoughts. It's not enough to say, well, I'm going to stop going to bars and I'm going to stop going to... You got to start going to good places where you can maybe visit your brethren or teach the lost, whatever. So we've got to substitute a good habit for a bad one. And we go down through the list of that, we will actually make those changes. Let me suggest another principle, and that is that we face one day at a time with one step at a time. Like I mentioned earlier about Sir Edmund Hillary, that's how he got to the top of Mount Everest, one step at a time. If today, on February the 25th, if today, we can actually go out and take the right step, then can we take it tomorrow? Yes. Can we take it on Tuesday? Yes. And on Wednesday, we can take these steps and we can actually start making progress. But what happens is some people won't live for each day. They start looking into the future. Well, what about this that's going to come up? And what about that that's going to come up? And what if next month this happens to me or that? Let's just take it a day at a time. Let's make the change starting today on the 25th. Make it tomorrow. Make it the next day. Just live a day at a time. Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Just focus on today. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. Paul talks about those who are going to be rewarded in heaven with this eternal life, but he makes a statement that I find very interesting here. To them that by well-doing seek for glory, is that what he says? Or does he say, to them that by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor? We need to be doing well and doing good, but we need to do it with patience and endurance. Take a step at a time, take a day at a time, be patient, endure, stick with it. And Paul says in Galatians 6:9, we will reap if we faint not. Just take a day at a time. Take a step at a time, take a hurdle at a time, and start making those changes. You can do it. And we won't find ourselves saying, well, I need to change, and then a month from now we haven't. We will have actually made the change. And it's best, in my judgment, to follow these principles and follow what Jesus said. Don't start borrowing from, well, what if next week? No. We're on the 25th. We're today. Let's just handle today. And we'll take next week when next week comes. But we've got to have patience, and we've got to not faint. We've got to just keep going step by step, day by day. And then last of all, and the lesson will be yours, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. One last thing that we can do. The first three things or so dealt with God. We have to live a life that is glorifying God each day. We have to be someone who is going to live by His principles and follow His Word. And we've got to pray to Him. And we've got to read the Scriptures seriously. The next three focused on some things that we can do. This last one focuses on the help that we can get from those around us. Have we actually spoken to somebody who is a faithful Christian, one of the elders, a faithful member of the church, and get help from them in making changes? Paul says about brethren, and some of them have been overtaken in a fault. They obviously need to be changed, and they need to be restored. They need to be brought back. And he says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We've got faithful brethren who can help us be restored, who can help us make changes, but we've got to open up and talk to them. Turn with me to James chapter 5. If you will open up and talk to a faithful member of the church, and I keep saying faithful because you want to make sure that they're a godly, faithful member of the church, or they're trying to live right themselves. Do you know what that'll do for you? They've gone through what you've gone through often. Number two, they now know the situation, and keeping it confidential, they can pray for you. Number three, they might bring up some Bible passages that I haven't brought up, and they have some other Bible passages in mind that might be able to help you. There's nothing but good that can come from letting our brethren help us, but you've got to go to them. That's why in James 5:16, sometimes this is not carried out much among brethren today. It's abused by some religions where they say you have to go confess your sins to a priest. But again, because it's abused doesn't mean that there's not a right principle that is there, and that is you can get help from faithful members of the church, and the context, verse 14, is calling for the elders who can come and pray for you, and in that context, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. You can let people know, and they can help you, and they can pray for you. And in this context, it's the elders. And what a great thing that is. I'll be glad to try to help you, but I know the elders would be as well. And there's other godly men and women in this church. If you were to share your problem with them and say, I need to change this, they can help you. So that's what I would offer. You can change yourself to be what God wants you to be. I know a lot in society, and maybe even among some brethren or those we know, there's this thing that goes on where people say, I want to change and I'm going to change, and then a month or two later they just haven't changed. And that's why we're sitting here February the 25th, and there's probably a lot of folks that made New Year's resolutions that haven't been fulfilled. And it's because of some of these things that we've talked about, and so I hope that these principles this morning will help us. I think that the entire New Testament, in one way or the other, is about change. And it's good to be reminded of these principles. Let God help us in what we talked about. We need to help ourselves, and we can let faithful Christians around us help us. There may be someone here this morning that needs to make a change. Like I said earlier, if it involves that matter of being baptized properly into Christ, let us help you to do that. That's what we want to do. Don't put it off. If it's something where, as a child of God, we've let sin come back in our life, don't put that change off. If it's something where we're living faithfully to God each day and we just simply need to grow in some area or mature or get better in some area, don't put that off. God tells us how you and I can change ourselves. And you think about that, the way that sermon ended on the day of Pentecost. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Peter is saying, get up and make a change. And I think about John the Baptist, and I think about Jesus, and I think about Peter's sermon. They could have come and preached a bunch of stuff. You ever thought about what they could have preached? Their opening sermon. Politics, or the weather, or you know, Roman gladiators. They could have preached on a bunch of stuff. What's the first thing out of their mouth? Change. Change. And let's be right with God. This morning, if we can help you to make that change, let us do that as we stand and sing.